Good morning, KRFY listeners. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I have a really special treat for listeners today. We are lucky enough to be joined by President of the Great Northern Disc Golf Association, and his name is Eric Nelson. Hello, Eric.
Good morning.
So happy to have you here. So, Eric, we have many listeners from very many areas of the region and the neighborhood, et cetera. And so not everyone that's tuning in this morning may know exactly what disc golf is. Why don't we start by talking about that?
Great place to start. So disc golf, or formerly known as frisbee golf or FOLF, there's been some names, it evolved into disc golf. It's been around since the 70s. It originated in the Bay Area, California. It was it's essentially golf with discs, right? So very similar to ball golf as far as the layout of the course and the general rules. It seems to be a lot more inclusive as far as the range of people who enjoy it. It's typically free, if not very affordable, as far as where to play and the gear itself.
Yes, from what I've seen, you don't need frisbee golf or disc golf shoes. You don't really need a big bag. The number of discs you might need could be just two or three to many, many more.
Absolutely, yeah. You can pretty much play with the exact same setup that the pros do for the cost of a nice golf driver.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And the other thing, I don't know that much about disc golf. I've played a little bit, but I'm sure I've not played as much as you have. But I also know that the development and the cost of developing a disc golf course is lower than what we would call regular or ball golf.
It's lower for sure, for a few reasons that are beneficial as far as it's a lot less impact on the property. It's, you know, besides mowing, there's some thinning of fairways, but usually when you, especially a wooded course, you try to find kind of the natural lines through the woods instead of clearing a large swath and then put in an irrigation and so on. We don't require watering. It's kind of just all natural terrain.
Yes, less watering, and you work with the landform, so it is a lot easier on the environment when one is developing this kind of a course.
And once it's in maintaining, it's quite a bit simpler as well.
Yeah, that's a great explanation of what is disc golf. It's golf played with a frisbee, and it's a little easier on the land. Now, I'm going to ask you to tell listeners just a little bit about yourself, how you came to be here in the Sandpoint area, and how you got involved in disc golf.
Well, I moved up here permanently in the mid-90s. I was introduced to the area as a youngster. I had friends that skied when I was in middle school, and I came skiing at Schweitzer and kind of looked around, said this could be the best place in the world to live, and I tested that theory throughout the years. I moved away to Jackson after high school, lived down in that area, traveled and skied competitively for over a decade, and everywhere I went, I was always kind of measuring it to Sandpoint and ended up back here.
Boy, that's a common story, I think, don't you? There's a lot of folks that go away for a while and come back.
Oh, we call it the Sandpoint effect, right?
It's like a boomerang effect.
Yep.
Yeah, and then how did you get into disc golf, and how did you get involved with the Great Northern Disc Golf Association, your president?
Well, in around 2010, 2011, I had only played disc golf a handful of times, enjoyed it. I was working, I was commuting to Moab, Utah for my job at that point, and I got word from a friend of mine who's an avid disc golfer that there was going to be a course put in at the U of I property, and they were looking for help with that. And I said, absolutely, when I get home, I'll dust off the discs and pull out some tools and we'll get going on that. When I got home, it was probably another week and a half, but by the time I got home, I was amazed at what had already been accomplished, right?
And by whom? Volunteers? Paid people?
Well, that was a group of avid disc golfers who'd been disc golfing since way before it was cool. and they had put temporary courses up all over the area. There was always a place to play through the 90s. It just wasn't necessarily sanctioned.
And maybe that's something that we should talk about, because disc golf courses do tend to erupt places, right, where nothing's happening, and then they'll maybe be there for a short time and gone.
Yeah, well, they're so, like we were talking about, they're pretty minimal as far as pit setting them up. It doesn't require a lot of disturbing the property and so on. So Memorial Field, there was a kind of an object course over 20 years ago now, that was played fairly regular by a handful of people, but it, obviously since it, they didn't have permission to do that, and it's a public multi-use park, and it got, you know, pretty popular pretty quick, you know, that only lasted so long. And there's been other examples of that throughout, both on private with permission property and public property with or without permission.
Sure. Is there a word for these kind of courses? I can think of words like renegade or feral, or do they
commando
have...
course.
Yeah, that sounds good too. But they're just sort of there and then they're gone because they're not secured in perpetuity. Let's move on to the course that you all manage, and that is Baldfoot. Let's talk about it.
Sure. Well, in volunteering for the U of I property, we put that up in a really quick time frame. I was really amazed at the outpouring of support from the community, both disc golfers and businesses alike. That went in, we played it for about 2 years, and then looking down the road, we kind of foresaw what's happening now, you know, the land crunch, and that this wasn't guaranteed forever. It was a great course, but the city had purchased in 2009 the property where we're at currently, and it was just sitting there for future use for a upgrade for the water sewer or the water treatment facility that's been due for decades.
Yes, and many of us will know where the course is, but for those that don't, where is it?
It's if you start out of town on Baldy Mountain Road, heading out of town, you cross the tracks. It's the second driveway on the left. There's a parking lot there and a couple of old barns.
Yeah, and a little sign maybe. It seems like there's a sign there too.
There's a kiosk in the parking lot. It's hard to miss.
Yep, I've played there maybe 3 or 4 times. I've enjoyed it. All right, so you had to move from the University of Idaho location because you could see the writing on the wall there, and the goal, I think, was that there would be a more permanent...
It was a big undertaking, and the biggest reasoning for it was that we're going to be able to, A, work with the city and have something that was going to be there forever. It's just a great location, too. The course that we had was awesome, but this one's better.
It's got some really varied terrain, and you're up and you're down, and you're throwing discs over a creek, and all kinds of interesting things happen on that course.
It's pretty special.
Yeah, it really is. And so your hope was that the city would develop the new water treatment and frisbee golf would be incorporated around.
Correct.
Yeah, but that plan has changed. What happened?
Well, there was an advisory committee that formed up and talked to the city about, there's a few things. There was, you know, the cost of, the initial cost of such a undertaking. The one thing that was for sure is it needed to be upgraded to meet current standards, to be ready for volume, you know, as we grow. Big thing for us was we build the course that's going to be around the footprint, because there was a proposed kind of a plot, and we figured once they build that and it's done, then the course will just be there. But the city, looking at current technology, overall costs, lots of factors and lots of meetings went into this. Essentially, they ended up in end of 2017, beginning of 2018, went ahead and decided to retro the existing one, and they thought that would be more cost effective and meet the needs of the community better, essentially.
Yeah, it really sounds like it will be. I mean, I'm so happy that the city was able to save money that way, but there's a twist, isn't there, due to the financing with the other land?
Well, yeah, at that point, considering that the city had purchased that property with a bond under the water business in the city, the ratepayers now have paid for that property, essentially, and if it's not going to be used for that, then there needs to be a cure for that to make the ratepayers whole and reconcile that piece.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they shouldn't have to pay for land that isn't going to be used for a wastewater facility.
Certainly. I'm a ratepayer. I understand.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. So that leaves you a little bit in flux, right? You're not quite sure what's going to happen. Tell us about what you know and what you've been working on.
Well, in 2018, we had completed and had several tournaments and had a rating on the course, made the Baldfoot course itself, made the top 100 list in the world on the UDISC survey that they do. That's over 10,000 courses worldwide, so that was pretty neat. It's where it sits right now is that we've just, as a board, back then we decided to just kind of hit the pause button, maintain that course, And just raise awareness. And you know, the city and our group have been working on different solutions that preserve the course, essentially, and finish the project that we started. Because a couple of things here is this course, you know, top 100 in the world, it's irreplaceable. If it goes away, there's no making another one within any kind of a reasonable proximity to town. And I certainly don't see one of this caliber.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, so much conversation within the city and in the media and with the city council about the value of recreational land in proximity to Sandpoint. And a great example, of course, is Pine Street Woods. Wow, what a success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're not really, you're kind of almost in their neighborhood over there.
Yeah, and we've talked to them about, they've expressed interest on doing some disc golf over there, and would totally support that. They're absolutely on our side as far as preserving this as open space and multi-use recreational area that's proximal to town that people can actually get to.
Yeah, it's what draws people to our city. Now, I know there's a lot of discussion about how many people should be drawn to Sandpoint because it's getting so popular, but without its recreation, Sandpoint isn't Sandpoint. So it's very important.
I think so. And, you know, we all see what's going on with development. There's, you know, only so much room for neighborhoods, and there's a need for that, absolutely. But as we grow, we want to keep it proportional to what makes Sandpoint special in the first place. And I think this is a big opportunity to balance what's happening.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Tell me more about what the Parks and Recs Department at the City of Sandpoint offers for input and the support and discussions you're having.
Well, like I said, the original decision when we decided to move the course, there was a 501c3 that's local, the Eureka Center, and Steve Holt helped facilitate that agreement with the city, and they acted as our 501c3 and communicated to the city for us. But in recent years, since it's been on hold, there's been just kind of a lag. The group talked about it. We've got some new board members coming on, and we're trying to just kind of revamp, get more efficient, and deal directly with the city. So when we approached both the Eureka Center and the city, they totally agreed with that, been very supportive of that whole process. So we're working out a new lease where Great Northern will take over the lease, figure out if whatever insurance needs are going to be required now that this property is actually annexed into the city. It's a little bit different situation than it was when we moved over there. So that's kind of where we're at. We've been on hold, and there's just so much kind of stored energy, I guess, as far as finishing the project, going after fundraising, and the city is supporting us and giving us time to do that, letting us take over the lease, and we're going to sit down with them shortly and talk about commitments from the city as far as what they can do as far as supporting, leveraging dollars, whatever that looks like. They're on our side, so when we go to these particularly big donors, if we're going to go to an angel investor and we can say, we're working with the city, we're in partnership, and this is what our common goal is, that's a big deal. So that's where we're at right now, and that's where we formed the new group.
Yes, of course. I mean, I can imagine anyone who'd want to be, as you said, an angel donor would want to know that the course will be there in the long term.
They're going to want some assurances, and yes, it's a whole process.
That's
once,
right.
Once they get to that point, for sure.
I can imagine very long. Well, I'm happy to hear that the city is supportive and that you as a club are working on how you're going to be able to raise funds, et cetera. And on hold, of course, because you didn't have clarity on.
Well, yeah, if you know, we were getting extensions a year at a time. Our original lease agreement was for 5 years, and then it was supposed to go forever, essentially, once that, you know, kind of trial period was over. But of course, things changed, and this is where we're at. So
yeah, I can understand.
That's what we're going to work with.
Yeah, it makes sense, because the land is has not been fully figured out with the Parks and Recs in the City of Sandpoint. Well, we've talked a little bit about recreational opportunities in the area, and it really is the only in-town disc golf at this time. I know about Caliber because we've interviewed
Paul,
thank you. It was a few months ago, and know about that course, and that's a private course that will hopefully remain for a long time, but not guaranteed because it's owned by an individual, so we don't know, and this would really be something that would be great to preserve in the city. So many people using it. You mentioned that usership is increasing.
It is. It has every year. Our measure for that is basically that there's a dollar donation bin at the front of the course, and people either put a dollar in or they just come and play. And so it's kind of a loose, kind of a low estimate. So we figure if we use that as our measure, it's a, you know, we can at least track growth. And it is every month we collect. It's a new record for, say, June, July, August, and it is used year round, all winter long. There's people coming and playing.
Oh, I've noticed it as well. The times that I've been, it seems more and more popular. So I have to say, I enjoy it out there. Well, can you share with us any kind of timeline about the fundraising, or maybe some input on what you'd like listeners to think about and do to support this course on your behalf?
Well, I think the number one thing is just reach out to the city. The city website has emails for the city council, for Jennifer Stapleton, the city manager, for Maeve and the Parks and Recs department. They're all awesome. They want the input. And I think just giving them a full picture of just what an asset this is and how many people value it is important. We announce fundraisers, work parties, and such as that on our Facebook page, and that's Sandpoint Disc Golf on Facebook. We have an email address if anybody knows potential donors, anything of that nature. We're at throwgndg.com. That's Throw Great Northern Disc Golf. .com. And just kind of raise awareness. That's what we're building towards. Once we, and it'll be the, you know, by the end of summer, we'll have things figured out with the city, and we'll be able to kind of go forward with bigger fundraising efforts, and we'll know more what we're up against, what the city's going to be able to match, or whatever that looks like. It's all kind of getting figured out, but it's positive.
Yeah, what it's going to take for your association to help put it together for disc golf in perpetuity over there.
Exactly, because that's yeah. Our goal is to first get this saved, protected for the long term, and then finish what we started, because there's a multi-use vision for this, which includes a perimeter trail for dog walkers, an enclosed dog park, the Pondere Peddlers have expressed interest in working with us to do a bike trail over there. There's room on the property. If managed correctly, it can really be a multi-use area that benefits more than just disc golfers, right? Even though that's a big chunk in and of itself, there's a lot more potential.
Of course, I can imagine that with biking trails and a dog park and disc golf interlaced among all the other activities. What a great recreational space it would be. And the topography is fun, so bikers and hikers and disc golf players would enjoy it, I can imagine.
The beautiful thing about that property is it's so close to town. It is part of town. And once you tee off on hole one, you don't see a road, a house, a car go by. You might hear a train or a plane go over, but you're basically in the woods and you don't feel like you're in town. And it's just really unique in that regard.
It really is, as close to town as it is. It's really a fun walk. I mean, even if you didn't disc golf, I played disc golf, I think you'd enjoy that walk.
Oh, yeah, it's been used for that since before we were there. We have a lot of locals that know us because they met us while we were building the course and have a lot of support from the neighbors.
I should think so. I did want to touch on what sort of the amount of dollars you all feel it's going to take to make the city whole from its bond, etc. Do you have an idea of that amount?
Well, we went ahead and when we took over or when we got extended, part of our extending the lease when that decision was made in 2018, we went ahead and paid the balance of the interest to help keep it cash neutral, but the city paid in 2009 paid $938,000 for that property.
And how large is the property?
Just under 34 acres, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's a lot of land for potential recreation. Yeah, interesting. So, before we began the interview, talked a bit about possible upcoming events. What's going on this year?
We do have a tournament coming up. We had one recently that was a huge success. We filled the course, had 72 players came, and we raised a nice little chunk of money. Our next one is going to be on August 13th, and that's going to be a doubles tournament. It'll be the third one we've done. It's the Double Treble Baldfoot Bash. The first one was in 2018, and that was kind of when we printed up the Save Baldfoot shirts that you might have seen around town and whatnot, and just started raising awareness. So this will be the third one that we're doing. Registration for that will open on July 9th on Disc Golf Scene. It'll be a 27-hole layout, two rounds, and I think we're going to max out at 108 players for this tournament.
That sounds fun. So is it? Would it be just like a golfing tournament where the lowest, of course, the lowest score is going to win?
It's going to be a mix. There's going to be the main course, so 18 holes will be best shot, and then there'll be 9 holes on the short course, and that'll be worst shot. So you'll have to take your partner's shot if he
Okay, so yeah, best shot, and then you've got to take the worst shot. Those will be very different outcomes, I would think.
Yep. And
sounds fun.
The tournament director, Mike Givens, is really opening it up different. There's going to be quite a handful of categories as far as there'll be a Jack and Jill, so we can have a mixed cards. If you wanted to have a junior and a senior on a card, he had different ideas about that. So when that opens up, there'll be those options, and that'll kind of mix it up and make it fun.
Yeah, some really nice opportunities for people at different skill levels, it sounds like. And I'd like to know, where will people come from for this tournament? Is it going to be, is it big enough that you get people from all over?
All over the Northwest and beyond. Between Baldfoot and Caliber, people come from California, Canada, fly over from there. I mean, Caliber's in the top 10 in the world. We're in the top 100, and it's really kind of put Sandpoint specifically on the map. I mean, it's kind of a disc golf rich area. I think it always will be.
Yeah, great.
But if you know, we want to keep Sandpoint involved in that because it is in a huge way at the moment.
Will Caliber be at all involved with your tournament? Will there be anything happening over there?
Paul always supports our tournaments, whether he brings prizes or kicks down prize money, or he was instrumental on roughing in the course. He brought machines out and volunteered a lot of time. He sat on the board up until the time he started Caliber. It's just, you know, you only have so much bandwidth, and that's a huge undertaking. But since he's left the board and taken on his project, he's always supported what's going on here. He shows up for league and does everything he can.
Yeah, I'll say the same, because he was really positive about all you guys when we had our interview talking about Caliber. So I have to agree, he's so supportive of all disc golf.
He's just a good guy all the way around.
Yeah. Well, Eric, what have I missed? What else are we needing to talk about this? Oh, well, I guess we've asked what we would like for listeners to think about doing. But another thing they might think of doing is just getting out and checking it out, right?
Oh, absolutely. If you haven't played, don't be shy. I mean, if you've never done it before, if you know someone who's done it and can take you, that's great. But even if you don't, get out there, take just one disc and start on the family course. If you walk into past the kiosk, there's a picnic table on your right. There's a kind of an alley through the trees right there and a sign that points at the short course. And that is a great kind of place to start.
Yeah, that one's not quite as challenging as the main course, which has more skinnier fairways and more trees and all that.
Longer drives requires more distance, but I'll tell you what, it's a great practice course. I mean, a lot of the really high-level throwers will warm up on that course or play around after the course because it's, you know, similar to ball golf. It's all about the short game. You need to be able to get up and down. Your drive's only one part of it.
That's right. That's what gives those of us who can't throw a frisbee straight a little bit of hope, and that includes me.
I think everybody benefits from throwing the short course. The par two courses have really caught on because of that.
You
put them in tighter spaces, and they're great for beginners or any level, really.
Yeah, and you can work. I would guess you could work on your game and then work on those longer throws as you get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, what else would we like to say before we come to a conclusion?
I'd definitely like to thank the current board members and recognize some people who have been instrumental through the years. We already talked about Paul. He's been a huge support for disc golf in general and specifically the course. I mentioned Steve Holt and the Eureka Center. They helped us get this thing off the ground. At that point, Rick Leader was really involved with getting people organized and put just a ton of work. Like I said, that the first course at the Vandal property over at the U of I on Boyer, that just went in so quick, and he just made so many contacts and kind of got the whole ball rolling. So that momentum carried over, even though it was a tough decision. We're going to uproot this whole course and take on this because even bigger undertaking. But just, and he spearheaded that transition and was involved for the first couple years as heading up that piece. So huge there. Also instrumental in the big transition with Tim Hutto, Steve Mix, Brandon Coxton. I think I said that right.
He'll understand if you're
sorry,
close.
Sorry, Brandon. And I'm going to miss some people, I'm sure. But Josh DeLucci is currently on the board, but was a part of that original group. And they just put in tons of hours, money out of their pocket, so on and so forth, to get it off the ground and start that momentum.
That shows some really dedicated people that are willing to put in so much time on their own time, and it shows that they must have a true love of disc golf. And I want to ask you a question about your board and you. Do y'all get together and play? Are you friends in the disc golf world?
Yeah, we all play. There's Tuesdays and Fridays, there's a league. There's been a league going since 2011, started at the original course. So the Tuesday night single league started then, I want to say 2014-ish. The doubles league started. Friday nights, a different group came in and kind of started that. And they've, you know, there's just a ton of people showing up for that, you know, during the season. So
sure, and that must add a nice social element to the sport.
Oh, absolutely. And you get a whole cross section. You get everyone from engineers to bus drivers to guys who work for the city to, you know, everybody's getting off work at the same time. So it's, you know, it's common ground, essentially. Yeah. And that's important for community.
And it doesn't appear anymore that everybody is just wandering around in their flip-flops and baggy shorts.
Well, disc golf has gotten a lot more serious. I mean, since we started this project, disc golf as a whole has really grown. I mean, there's pros signing million-dollar contracts now, which is, I would never imagine that 15 years ago.
Yeah, and if you go on YouTube, you can really find a lot of information and little lessons and then just what's going on in the disc golf
world. Yeah, the big picture, it's really, really grown. It's amazing. And if you get into it, you'll really get into it and you'll know why.
Yeah, and because it's a fun way to get some exercise and spend time outdoors. It's really, you know, what an easy threshold and a good way to start getting exercise if you need it.
Cool. So, and then our current board, I definitely want to give shout outs to these guys. So I'm the president currently. I've been involved, but not as long as Josh DeLucci, who's been on, in the original group that started the course over on Boyer. And he's been on our board ever since. He manages our Facebook account and does a lot of good things as far as contact doing media stuff. And that's been a big push for us recently as a group to get more of a presence and get the awareness.
Very important right now with everything you've got going on.
John Gaddis has been involved with other disc golf groups in the past. He came on, I want to say around 2015, 2016, but has worn many hats. And through the whole kind of hiatus we've had where we've been on pause, he was taking on treasurer role, secretary role at points. He does just a lot of footwork. He's really got good contacts and good reputation in town. So he's been instrumental. Mike Givens is, he currently runs both the leagues, and he was just kind of one of the younger players out there in the beginning. He got introduced to disc golf when we built the thing, and he's just an amazing thrower now. He has a really good connection with all the local players, and so we brought him onto the board. He's my vice president because he's just kind of he's just a go-getter, good kid, and it's great to have kind of some new blood because the guys that have been doing it, we're ready to see this through and hand it off into good hands because these, you know, volunteer boards are only, you can only do it so long.
I was just going to say that because, of course, we're volunteers here at KRFY and so many other nonprofits in the area, and there's a lot of volunteering that can be done, and it's good to find some young faces and voices. I'm glad you found one.
Yeah, it's rewarding in a lot of ways, but financially and time-wise is not one of them. Anyway, Christian Cook has come on. He's just a local thrower. He's an engineer in town, and he's taken on the role of secretary. Danny Pfeiffer, same. He's an engineer as well, and he came on and took over the treasury slot and has done a great job. Carl Kleinstad is Kleinkopf, excuse me. He's one of our directors. He's great disc golfer, very technically savvy, so he helps us with any kind of things like that. And then Charlie Walker's one of the local players who's given a lot of support through the years, and he came on the board. I think he's our newest member.
Yeah, cool. Well, that sounds like a large and dedicated board and one that's really stuck around for the long haul. I think that's great to hear it.
Yeah, whether you're a disc golfer or not, we're all disc golfers, but we also are locals and we understand the importance of this sort of thing. Like I said, it's just the biggest thing is it's irreplaceable and it's a huge opportunity to balance the influx and kind of have deliberate growth instead of radical growth.
Yes, and to maintain the balance of recreation and habitation, I guess I would say.
Absolutely, yeah. Pretty open important. Space is healthy, and sure nobody is. Will argue that.
Nope. Well, unless you've got anything to add, I'm going to conclude our interview.
I just appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you.
You bet.
All right, KRFY listeners, this has been just a great half hour with Eric Nelson of Great Northern Disc Golf, and we've been talking about the bald foot disc golf and its future. Eric has been encouraging y'all to stay in touch and stay informed with the city, and then, of course, go to their Facebook page if you're interested, or go to throwgndg.com to get in touch with them. And you mentioned a nice event coming up, so if you practice a little or if you're already very good at disc golf, that sounds like a fun event for people to get excited about.
Or just spectate.
It's yes.
Great, great way to get introduced to it and meet some folks.
Good idea. And remind me of the date again.
August 13th.
Okay. So people have plenty of time to get signed up and practice. Well, I thank you very much, Eric Nelson. It's been a great talk, and it's got me inspired to get out and play a little disc golf. Thank you.
Julie.